Hi, everyone. I'm James Spinelli, founder and CEO of Great Valley Advisor Group. GVA is a leading technology-driven, full-service, registered investment advisor. GVA partners with select independent financial advisors to provide customized technology, investment strategies, compliance, and back-office solutions. This podcast will provide answers to common questions that are asked by advisors throughout the transition process by interviewing experienced individuals who have benefited from their transition to independence. Welcome to the GVA Way. Welcome to episode number 17 of the GVA Way. I'm here with Todd Sipperman, the former founder and CEO of Sipperman Compliance Services and now general counsel of Great Valley Advisor Group. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about scale, stability, and support. And I think that given your background within the RIA landscape and the regulatory space, this is a very timely discussion as we dive into regulatory topics, as also the resilience and growth for firms and what they can expect through these three keywords.
Great. Happy to be here.
You've got a lot of information. So we laugh about that. But a lot of information that's, you know, able to be shared to help our advisors grow, and a lot of the reasons that we think it's important for you to kind of join the organization and what you can kind of bring to the table for them to hear about. And so there's the concept of building resilient firms. There's this concept of building scalable firms, right? And so when we think about the three key themes there of scale, stability, and support, we'll dive a little deeper. But before we do that,
sure,
we need to understand Todd's journey into compliance, into founding Sipperman Compliance Services, and the background that goes into that, right, as a small business owner and what you went through.
Sure. And it's related. It's all related, of course. The truth of the matter is I never really thought of – it wasn't like this grand plan to start a compliance firm or even start a small business. Sure. Before starting CCS, I was general counsel at SEI Investments, a big platform for investment advisors, among other things. I left there. Initially, I was going to start a law firm and focus on regulatory issues. But, you know, things happened along the way. The most significant thing was in 2004. It's actually launched in early 2004. And what happened in later 2004 is the SEC passed a compliance rule requiring advisors and funds to have compliance programs. So I was like, oh, great, okay, whatever, another rule. And then all of a sudden, I was inundated with requests to do compliance. And I just couldn't keep up. And for a while there, I was sort of running a law firm parallel with a compliance firm, and then I sort of pitched into the compliance space. So that's kind of how I got into it. I mean, there's more to it than that, but it was really a bit accidental, but I learned a lot of lessons along the way, and also a lot of lessons that I think are relevant to today's environment as we go through a lot of uncertainty.
Sure. And so when we think about those lessons, you obviously went through some pretty major milestones.
Yes.
Or, you know, interesting situations that RIAs would face inherently, the DBA firms underneath those RIAs would face. So one of the most recent ones being COVID. Before that, you have the financial crisis.
Yes.
And what were some of the key themes that you saw from those firms as they handled that when working with like Sipperman?
Yeah, I mean, I think the truth of the matter is when you're in the investment business or adjacent to the investment business, you have to accept that there's volatility. There's market volatility. You can't change that. It's going to happen. Hopefully we'll never see COVID-19 again or anything like that. Hopefully we'll never see the financial crisis again, but I can promise you in your careers, you're going to see another crisis that's going to drive the markets in ways that we didn't expect. So, but what you can do is control what you can control. And I learned that along the way, which is building a firm that is, in the term you use, as resilient as possible. And that's building a firm that has the people, the infrastructure, the technology. What you're trying to avoid is when you're out there talking to clients. Clients understand when they diversify their assets or trying to control market risk. What they don't want to take is investment risk, investment firm risk, I should say. Meaning, great, the market went down, but wait a second, you didn't do the rebalancing you said you were going to do? You didn't make the trade you were supposed to do? I called you, you didn't call me back? You had breakage in your technology? That's the risk, that firm risk, that you can, you don't want your investors to take, and you want them to trust that that will not happen when things get stressed.
No doubt about that, right? And so I think that's the stability aspect of the three keywords that we're going to dive into here. So emphasizing on the topic of this scale, stability, support, let's talk about the scale aspect.
Sure.
And how you go about doing it. So why infrastructure matters more than ever in volatility?
Well, part of it is controlling what you can control. That's certainly a big piece of it. And I think fundamentally there are sort of a couple of things that scale allows you to do. When there's a big loss, scale allows you to resist that, right? It means the firm is going to continue. It means it has access to information. It means it has access to solutions. And access to others that are going through something very similar. So scale really matters. Yeah. I think the fundamental question, how do you get scale, right? I think that's a hard thing. And I think there are really three things. As I built my firm, that really were lessons that I learned probably the hard way. And when I have these conversations, James, I always feel like you think I'm giving sort of some advice. I'm not. These are things I really screwed up.
But the big connection here between the firms that you're now able to work with under GVA as being part of mm-hmm. this, the big connection between yourself and me, obviously outside of this, we're great mm-hmm. friends, is we're running businesses.
That's right.
Right. And so that framework is so important, and it allows you to connect, have a stronger connection, in my opinion, than, you know, working with maybe a third party that doesn't have that type of experience, because right. you've lived it, you've breathed it, you understand it. Our firms are going through it right now. GVA is going through it right now, right? Everybody's an entrepreneur, everybody's a business owner and a mindset there. So I didn't mean to cut you off. I just think it's a really important piece when you think about that key area and how, you know, from a GVA standpoint, when we look at scale, I take a snapshot of where we are as an organization and what are areas that we're best suited at and what are areas that maybe someone else is going to be better suited at, right? Compliance being one of them, no doubt about it. We have in-house compliance, but we also need outsource compliance. That's kind of how we look at it. And the same thing for the firms underneath us. I'm assuming you probably experienced the same thing in your business.
That's right. I think that's exactly right. Figuring out what it is you need and you do best is incredibly important. I think one of the biggest things I learned over time is whatever you think, you might be wrong. And it's always good to get feedback from others to say, wait a second, I think I'm really good at investments. Am I? I think I'm really good at operations. Am I?
Yeah.
I think I'm really good at technology. Maybe not. And I think as a business owner, where I always say, you know, people ask you questions and you look over your left shoulder and you realize you're the one that has to answer that question. You really need to get that kind of feedback to figure out what you're good at and what you need help with.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot of kind of that onboarding experience. When we're bringing an advisor on, we're asking those questions. Or when advisors are already within GVA, we're asking those questions. We're constantly reevaluating because we do the same thing. I mean, we totally do the same thing. We say, hey, is HR something we want to do? Probably not. We outsource it, right? And it helps us grow the business in areas that we need to grow and focus on to help drive revenue and help drive, you know, an overall better experience for our advisors who are our clients. So the second area when we talk about stability is, you know, leadership around that and how leadership can really help with the stability aspect of a business in difficult times, right? Because everybody knows if you're running a business, once again, you've been there, I'm in it, our DBA firms are in it. When it's going great, it's the best. It's the best. But there's a lot of times where it's not going great, right? There's just issues pop up, certain circumstances may change. How does the leadership component of that define stability in this concept?
Yeah, I mean, an old friend of mine once advised me to remember, it's easy so long as it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, right? I thought I was saying it. So leadership fundamentally, from an outside perspective looking in, is about trust. Do your clients, vendors, other stakeholders trust that you're going to stay the course, that you're going to drive that ship the same way you always drove it, protecting them, protecting their interests, as you did when times were good. And by having a stable leadership and a consistent leadership, you can, because that's built over time. Trust is built over time.
Absolutely.
So having that consistency is vitally important. And I also think it's really important that leadership is more than just a person. Someone's got to make the final decisions. I fundamentally believe that. I think a strong CEO is incredibly important.
Yeah.
But they also need a good team. You want to know that, you know, there are people around that CEO that can actually help run that operation and will stay there long term to build a consistent direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think when you look at the leadership team, and you know, now that you have joined on as general counsel and the other individuals to be a part of the GBA ecosystem, it's really strong.
That's right.
And our advisors can feel confident, and advisors looking at GBA from the outside in can say, hey, I feel confident that, you know, not only do they have a great leadership team, but the people supporting that leadership team too, from an operations standpoint, are top notch, and they're here for us, and they're here, which brings us to the next point of support, mm-hmm. right? And they're here to support us, and they're here to help us grow. And I feel confident that they've helped advisors already. They're here to help me grow, and they're going to make sure I'm going down the right path, which is also very important from a support standpoint. And so the first bullet point I put on here was prompt, real answers, real time.
Yeah.
I mean, and how important that is, right? I mean, you know.
Well, I think there's a couple things. First of all, you got to hire good people. Let's start with that. And I think a good
Amen.
Firm, what's that?
Amen. Amen.
And a good firm, including, and I think GVA is that, you know, I think they hire people that have an understanding of the business and have a sensitivity and an emotional intelligence to the people on the other end of the line.
Yeah.
Like, they're running a business too. And you're trying to help them and increase opportunity and reduce fear. But you also, on top of that, once you have good people, you need a consistency around that service model. You know, example, is that firm responding to requests and questions? Is that firm consistently saying what they're going to do and then do what they said? And I think it goes back to people, because only good people can do that and understand the rules. But understanding a firm that actually has those policies in place and actually follows up on them,
yeah.
it's good business, but also it enhances that trust, because then your clients are saying, okay, when I pick up the phone, I'm not worried that they're not going to be there. You know, when the market goes down 400 points and I call my advisor, I'm not going to get a voicemail. Or if I do, I'm going to hear back from him or her in X amount of time.
Absolutely.
And it's that builds that trust over time.
And so one of the examples that we were talking about here before the podcast, you had mentioned was, you know, when you had Sipperman and you were running the firm, there was a email response time that you had, and then there was a turnaround time on requests that should have been done. What was it again?
I'm not saying we always followed it. The rule in the firm, and it was stated and written down, okay. was emails or phone calls had to be responded to within 2 hours.
Okay.
Which didn't mean necessarily you had an answer in 2 hours. It meant, hey, human being on the other line that has a problem, I got it. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And you were supposed to deliver an answer of some kind within 24 hours.
Sure.
Even if that could have been, I don't know, but here's what I have found out in 24 hours. The idea was, I never really wanted anyone come to me and say, hey, I asked a question, and crickets. Because nothing makes people crazier than not hearing back.
Correct.
Even if the answer is something they don't want, or even if the answer is something that I don't know, is better than nothing.
Yeah.
So there was a big part of it, again, and it didn't even matter if we didn't meet that 100%. The fact that was the standard, and that was the expectation, man, we did a better job.
Absolutely. And so the support concept in general is very important, especially in our business, right? Because you want to make sure that when you're working with these firms, or when the firms are working with their clients, that they have the support that they need in order to get the answers, the best answers possible, and that they're not going back and forth. Because that's how you want to talk about losing trust. Getting the wrong answer multiple times, someone's going to say, well, I can't trust them anymore. And then that becomes a slippery slope. And some of the support that we do here with regards to asset management, you brought up a good example, like if the markets are down or there's, you know, turmoil, there's a big announcement, is providing timely commentary around that, providing insights into that, doing video, you know, emergency videos, right? Or holding calls where advisor clients can join and jump in on that, as well as timely practice management calls. So there's a lot of support that we're seeing here. And I do think, given your background and given, you know, your transition into this general counsel role within GVA, it's just another area of support.
I hope so.
Right?
I mean, that's what I'm hoping to accomplish.
Absolutely. So is there anything else around the stability, the support, or the, you know, scaling side that you would say we maybe didn't touch on?
I think to emphasize a point about people and service, fundamentally, this is a service business, and it's a service business where response time matters because things happen in real time.
Yep.
I'll use an example. From our appeal to the financial crisis, it was really 1 month when everything tanked. In September of 2008,
yep.
Things were moving very quickly. And my view was, I want my best people dealing with my clients when they need them. And then I would create a back office and a platform to support them. So I wasn't having my best client people dealing with issues that I could do a different way, whether it be internally or, as you said, outsource it. And I think you should be always thinking that way. As a CEO, it's what you really are is a resource allocator. Where do I want to allocate my best resources? Mm-hmm. I want my best people on my best clients at the best time. And if they're doing something that gets in the way of that or could get in the way of that, your job is to get rid of those barriers and expedite their success.
And unfortunately, for those listening out there or for those that are, you know, already existing practice that probably know this, like, you have to make tough decisions. That is, you know, you make decisions that unfortunately someone's going to maybe really like, someone else might not like so much.
Absolutely.
And that's just kind of the name of the game, right? And that comes with the territory, especially as you have a growing, evolving business. That's going to be one of the big ticket items that I would put up there for sure.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And it goes back to the conversation we had about trusting leadership.
Yeah.
Do your clients and do your clients' clients trust that leadership will make those hard decisions? And as an easy example, and I recommend this, I had people that were not successful.
Yeah.
And I had clients tell me that they weren't successful. Now, as a leader, you don't want to have the conversation with your clients. You want the feedback. But unfortunately, sometimes you got to make that decision. Mm-hmm. Or you say to someone, hey, you know, I know you really like doing X, but, you know, you'd make a great Y.
Yeah.
And those are hard conversations.
Very hard. Very hard. But I also think it helps build trust. Helps build trust. So we'll skip over kind of rapid fire questions here because I want to have the listeners, the viewers, learn more about who you are outside of the former founder and CEO of Zipperman and now general counsel. What do you like to do? What do you enjoy doing?
Well, it's strange. I have two children, two daughters who now are in their 20s, which has sort of been interesting. I actually spent a lot of my time with them and supporting them in ways I never thought I would for a 20-something. Mm-hmm. Very involved in their lives. We both me and my wife and our family, we love to travel. Mm-hmm. We love wine.
Mm-hmm.
We love food. I love to be outside. I grew up in upstate New York, where you go outside at any time it's not snowing or raining out.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And I really love. One of the things I do is I do a lot of business mentoring, like for startup ventures.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love, as a almost like a hobby, talking to founders and sort of helping them on their journey like I was helped along mine. And that gives me a lot of gratification.
That's great. Well, Todd, thank you for joining me today on episode number 17 here when we talked about scale, stability, and support. And we look forward to working with you at GVA.
Hopefully get a chance to do it again.
The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.